Great. We're going to very short reading this week. You can see there on the slide, it's Joshua chapter 17, it's page 232. So please turn there. Welcome, Femi and Marina, with your son. Hope that you'll be able to stay after us, for some of us to say hello to him. They brought their baby. Well, how old is he? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? Nearly 3 weeks. Fantastic. And welcome back, Wendy, after your injury in the Vicarage Garden. It's a dangerous place. Nice to see you back. I'll lead us in asking God for help. I'm going to pray to ask God for help when we think about what he says. Almighty God, we thank you. You have gathered us here together. As we've already prayed, we are your family. Please speak to us, your family, and do the work in our lives that each of us needs, whether some of us need to be taught more to understand, or we've got something wrong, we need to be corrected, or we're finding it hard, and we need to be helped. Please do your work in us as we think about what you say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So keeping chapter 17 open, the Bible tells us God makes everything. Okay, I'm going to come to read the passage in a moment. God made everything, and he is super powerful. So I need sleep, but God never needs sleep. I can make sandcastles, but God made all the sand that there is in the world. I can draw a bird, but God is so powerful, he's made all the birds. And he's enabled them to fly or hop or whatever it is they do. I can be with people I like, my family and my friends. God is so great. He has made my family and my friends. That is the great God that the Bible says if we're Christians, we know he is our Father. God made everything. Nothing made God. God is in charge of everything. Nothing's in charge of God. Nothing can even give God an idea that he didn't have. That is the great God. And the Bible is telling us this morning that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. We've got very strange names, so don't be put off by the strange names. I'm going to read from verse 3 to 6. Now, Zelophehad, son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Maser. So that's all his family, his dad, his granddad, his great-granddad. He had no sons, but only daughters. And here are the names of his daughters, whose names were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. So those are his five girls. They went to Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the leaders. And they said, this is the daughters who said this, the Lord commanded Moses. So he told Moses to give us an inheritance. That's the right we get because we are born in our family, among our relatives, among our family. So Joshua gave them an inheritance along with the brothers of their father. So not with their own brothers, they didn't have any, but their father's brothers, according to the Lord's command. Manasseh's share consisted of 10 tracts, 10 areas of land, besides Gilead and Bashan, east of the Jordan, because the daughters of the tribe of Manasseh received an inheritance among the sons. The land of Gilead belonged to the rest of the descendants of Manasseh. Very strange. But I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Because we trust that God has got something to teach us, even from this strange little episode. So we've got a story, a man called Zelophehad. And he's got some daughters. Where do his daughters go? You need to look in the Bible to answer this question. Where do his daughters go? They go to the priest. That's right, Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua. So that's in verse 4. They went to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua, son of Nun, and the leaders. And then they say in the end of verse 4, so I'll read all of verse 4. They went to Eleazar the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the leaders, and said, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our relatives, among our family. So what did Joshua do? What happens next? From the passage, what happens next? Yeah, he gives them the land. He does give them the land. That's in end of verse 4. Oh, so Joshua gave them an inheritance along with the brothers. When did he give them the land? When did Joshua give them the land? Sorry, Paul? That's why he gave it to them, isn't it? The Lord had commanded it. That's right. He gave it to them because the Lord had commanded. When did he give it? Sorry, Manoj? Yeah, after they asked. They came and they asked, or they told him, remember, this is what the Lord promised. And then Joshua did what had been promised. And that's really all we're going to be thinking about this morning, and thinking a bit more about what that means for us as the people of God today. So this man, Zelophehad, didn't have any. Have you ever met someone called Zelophehad? It's a Bible name. Why aren't people calling their son Zelophehad? Femi, did you think about this as a name, Marina, when you had your son? No, didn't know about it. Daughters usually get some of the land with the family when dad dies. No, sorry, daughters wouldn't get the land. Sorry, in this time, the daughters wouldn't get the land. The sons would get it. But in this family, there's no boys. There's no sons. It's all girls. And that would mean that the father's name would be forgotten. And the land would be spread out amongst other people, other relatives. So the girls had gone to ask, well, the women had gone to ask Moses about this. And God had told Moses, they're right, these women, they should get some land. And this is what he'd promised. And that was a strange thing to ask then. It wasn't the way things normally happened. But God doesn't always do the things the way we think they should happen. He's very different from us. And that's why we need to keep reading the Bible to learn what he's like, not what we think he should be like. But what we're learning here is he keeps promises. And I want to help us think a bit more about keeping promises. I've got an envelope here. I need someone to come and open it. Someone to come and open it. That was brave. We'll see what's in the envelope. You can tear the envelope. I'm not going to use it again. But there's a piece of paper in it. You've torn the paper, but never mind. That was a bit careless of me, wasn't it? Can you get that paper out? If I tear the corner there, it's just about one piece of paper. So pull the paper out. Terrific. Can you read that?
The person who wins this competition gets a bag of Maltesers.
Brilliant. Can you read it in the microphone?
The person who wins this competition gets a bag of Maltesers.
Wow. Okay, there's a message that was in the envelope. Terrific. Would you like to be in the competition? Not sure. We need two people to be in the competition. Do you want to stay up here and be in the competition? A couple of quiz questions. Yeah, rock, paper, scissors. We need someone else to be in the competition. Someone who wants to. Ola's at the back with a hand up. Come to the front. Just to reassure you. Bag of Maltesers. There you go. This is a bag of Maltesers for the competition winner. So the first round of this competition is a quiz round to do with transport. There's going to be a slide to come up with the questions. The questions are going to be on the screen, but one of them, the first couple are. So this is to do with, think about the district line. You ever travel on the district line, the underground? You do a little? Okay. So we'll start with Ola. What is the next station on the district line after Dagenham Heathway? If you're going towards London, what comes after that? Don't tell him. Any thoughts? Not sure. Claude, what's the next station after Dagenham Heathway? Okay, this half of the room. Anyone on this half of the room? Help Ola. What's the next? Beckentry. Is that? Let's have a look. That should be the right answer on the next slide. Beckentry. Right, Claude, your question. What is the next station on the district line after Upney? Just wait. Don't shout. Sorry? Not sure. Someone from this half of the room want to help him? Io? It's Barking. Okay, I don't think either of you guys got that. Let's go for the next one. Okay, this is Bible quiz. Anyola, there's no more slides for now, so we stop the share. Ola, How many tribes in the people of Israel? Do you remember this? How many tribes? No. I should have warned you there'd be a Bible quiz element. This half of the room, how many tribes? 12 tribes. Okay, I mean, you're going to have to share these Maltesers with a lot of people, whoever wins. Claude, your question first. See if they, it, we'll ask their help if you need it. Which river did they, the people of Israel, have to cross to get into the land? Which river was it? They, well, that's true in a way. They did, no, it's not true in a way. It is true. They did cross the Red Sea. That was the first big bit of water that they crossed. But then to get into the land, which was it that they crossed? The River Jordan. Give them a hand. There's a point. Right. All of this half of the room are they're thinking about that Malteser. Which city did the walls fall down? Can you remember the name of the city where the walls fell down? It begins with the J, but it's not Jordan. Jordan is the river. The city beginning with J. Not sure? No. Well, okay, if you think you know, which is it?
Jericho.
It is Jericho. Okay. Claude, who was the leader before Joshua? Moses, straight away. Right, okay, so no winner on the first round. Clear winner on the second round. Final round is rock, paper, scissors. Okay, do you know how to do rock, paper, scissors? You do one, two, three, and then you either do rock or paper or scissors. Yeah? So we're going to count them in. One, two, three, and we'll do the best of three. Ready? Which hand? Yeah. So have you right fist ready? So one, two, three, and then go. Ready? One, two, three. No, just wait. We need to do it after the three. Sorry, didn't set that up properly, did I? We'll do a practice round. One, two, three. Right, that's scissor against scissor, so that's equal. We know what we're doing. Right, this is for real. This is for Maltesers. Are we ready? We're going to count them in. One, two, three. Was that scissors? Yeah, so that's one. Next round. Next go. This is two of three. One, two, three, go. Oh, he's got it. Well, I think, yeah, Claude's had it there. Well done, Ola, for being brave to come up. Give Ola a round of applause. You want to go back to your seat. And thank you, Ola, for being willing to help with the technology this week. Well, Claude, that's great. Well done. But what? Sorry, Nancy. He was waiting for his. Do you think he was waiting for his Maltesers? Yeah. Why was he waiting for Maltesers? I promise them, Claude. What do you need to say? Where's the Maltesers? You say. Where's the Maltesers? They're here. Well done. Give them a round of applause. God keeps his promises. Anyway, we've got a couple of slides to come up here with some pictures that we've had before when we thought about promises. Here we go. What is that? That's a message. What is that promising? That's the opening times for a shop. And then the next picture, what's that promising? Trains, when the trains will come. Okay. Promises are words, always. You can't have a promise without words. And, yeah, so we've got that on this promise. Look at that in a minute. Promises are about something that's going to happen. So it's no good for me to say, I promise you there'll be a church lunch last month and Chris and Ros Howes will be there. That's not a promise. It's already happened. I'm just telling you what happened last month. Promises about something that's going to happen. But promises are no good if the person who makes the promise can't keep the promise. So I say, it's going to be really hot this week, I promise. Everyone's going to be wearing sunglasses and shorts. It's going to be so sweaty. You think, oh, Joel, who do you think you are? I can't keep that promise. So when you read a promise or hear a promise, what do you do with it? Well, it depends on the person who makes the promise, doesn't it? It depends who makes the promise. If they think they're going to do it, you trust the promise. Well, if you think they won't, you ignore the promise. If you think it'll happen, you believe the promise. If you don't think it will, you doubt it. And the Bible word for if you believe a promise of God is, or a promise of another person, not just God, but if you believe a promise, it's called faith or trust. That's trusting that the person will keep the promise. And if you believe a promise about something that's going to happen later, the other word for it is hope. You expect it to come. You hope for it. So in the game, there was a promise. What was the promise? Well, before the game, there was a promise. What was the promise before the game? Yeah. Yeah, if you win the game, the person who wins the competition will get a bag of Maltesers. Yeah, that was the promise. And it was a promise about the future. It hadn't happened. It was going to happen later. And did I have the power to keep that promise? Yeah, how did I have the power to keep that promise? Why was it possible for me to keep this promise? Because I had some Maltesers, so I could keep that promise. And who was the promise for? The winner. Yeah, it wasn't for everyone in the room. Sorry if you thought that. It was only for the winner of the competition. So in the story, in the episode in the Bible, Zelophehad's daughters, the promise was the words God had said. Yes, they shall have land. And he'd spoken those words a long time before, but in Moses' time, he'd given the promise to Moses, yes, those women shall have land later on when you're in the promised land. And so now was time for the promise to come true. Did God have the power to give them that land? Yeah, he did, because he had given the land to the people. And who was the promise for? Who was that promise for? Sorry, laughing out loud. I was wondering if anyone was going to be brave enough to say the name. Yeah, it was for the sisters. It was for Zelophehad's daughters, those sisters. Everyone's got funny names in this part of the Bible, haven't they? The sisters with the promise. We have promises from God. Where are the promises from God that we have? In the Bible. Yeah, the promises from God that we have are in the Bible. God has said what will happen. Now, some of those promises God is keeping now. Some of them are coming true now. And some of them are for later. And they've not happened yet. Can we trust God to keep his promises? Yeah, because he's kept lots of promises before. And remember what I said at the beginning about him. He's so great. I can make a sandcastle. He has made all the sand. I can draw a bird. He's made the birds. I love being with my friends. He made my friends. Wow, he can keep promises. We just need to make sure that we're looking at the right promises. Aniola, there's a slide here with a promise that's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. Is that for Christians? What does it say? Here we go. You will conceive. That means you'll get pregnant and give birth to a son, and you have to call him Jesus. So I read that in my Bible. And I run upstairs and say to Karen, I found a promise in the Bible. I'm going to be pregnant. And we're going to have to call this little boy Jesus. And I said, no, Joel, that's not for you. Okay, so not all the promises in the Bible are for us. We need to be careful that we understand which is the right promise. And really the best way to start is to read the what is called the letters in the New Testament. The later part in the New Testament, and those are promises we know that are for us. Lots of other promises are for us, but we need to think how Jesus affects the promises. They change because he's come, some of them. So here's a promise for now. Next slide. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's quite a long, complicated promise, but it's the words are saying, pray to God. God is on a throne and he's a loving God who wants to give good things. We've got to pray to him. That's what approaching his throne means. It means praying and asking. And so in this promise, God is saying, next time you pray, Jesus will make sure I hear it. I'll be listening. I promise to give you the help you need to get through a difficult time. Now, it doesn't promise to give us everything you want when it's a difficult time. That's a different thing. Yeah, doesn't promise that, but he promises to give us the help we need. So next slide, please, Aniola. Here, we can put our name in it. Rosemary, approach God's throne of grace with confidence so you will receive mercy and find grace to help you in times of need. That's Rosemary's name in it, but you can put your name in it, and it's your promise. But then believe the promise. What did Claude have to do at the end of the game? Had to come and ask. Yeah, had to ask, and then he got what was promised. God promises to help when we ask. Next slide, please. So this is things that Jesus said in John chapter 14. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? So he's talking about after we die, the place we go to. Jesus makes it ready. And then the next part, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So this is a promise for the time when we die. He's saying Jesus will take us home with him, and we will then be with him. That's a promise. So we could put, Aniela, could you go to the next slide? I've put a name in here. Is it there? Next. Oh, yes, sorry. Yeah, so look at the bottom half. I'll read it all. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for Mark? I was sure there'd be a Mark here today, and they're both away. One of them is visiting Lawrence up in Blackpool, and the other is taking his brother to a church he's not been to, so he's helping his brother to go to a new church in Stratford. But we know Marks. We know both the Marks, don't we? Put another name in if we wanted. And then the bottom half said, and if I go and prepare a place for Mark, I'll come back and take him to be with me, that Mark also may be where I am. You can put your name in that promise, because it's a promise of Jesus to all his people. It's great, isn't it? Now, we're not strong enough to make a promise like that, because we will die. And so the strongest promise people can make is when a man and a woman get married, they make promises. And that's what being married is based on. It's not about a fancy dress or a big party or the minister giving a certificate. It's about the man and the woman both promising each other. And how long do they say they will keep their promises for? Until I die. So I promise to love you until death do us part. That's as strong as word. But nothing's going to separate God's people from him, by including death, dying. Nothing will stop his promise from being kept. So put your name in that promise and thank him for that promise and talk to him about that promise. So well done again to Claude. He won the prize. It was in the promise. The promise was in words about something that would happen. I was strong enough to give him the promise, and he asked for it. God has made many promises for us, like Zelophehad's daughters. He can keep those promises. They're for us. Let's ask him to keep the promises, and we can be sure he will. But I'm going to, Joel's going to come up to introduce the last song. Before he does that, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have promised that when we ask you for help in times of need, in difficult times, that you will give us the help that we need. Please make us all remember this, that we would be believers who do ask our loving Father for your help. We thank you as well for Jesus' promise that he has made a place ready for us when we die, and he's going to take us there. Please help all of us to be believers who trust this great promise. In Jesus' name, amen.